Here it is. It's Saturday morning at 10 a.m. and this is a radio station that says the time right before we play music.
Music Video Land. My name is Adam Fairholm, and you're listening to Music Video Land podcast by FilmedInsert.com. Like I said, I'm Adam, and then we've got Doug here with me. How you doing, Doug?
Super good, Adam. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. Very good. I'm really excited about this week's show. This is going to be a really good one because this past weekend was the Vimeo Awards Festival and Awards, combining the two, in New York. Doug, you were there, and while you were there, you got to interview the winner of the music video category for the Vimeo Awards, Daniels. Very exciting. And so we're going to play that interview coming up in the second half of the show.
This is all true.
That
you
is all.
You haven't lied yet.
No, and here comes the lie. We're both pathological liars. We take medication for it, which is why they've recommended us not doing a podcast, but we're pressing on because we get to talk to cool people like the Daniels, and we get to go to, or you get to go to, sweet things like the Vimeo Awards. And we should mention that Daniels won for Manchester Orchestra's video Simple Math, which is an unbelievable video. Very, very deserving of that title. And we've been trying to track down...
They also won an honorary... That's not a word. They also won an honorary award at the festival for New Creator, which is also really cool. So two awards went to them. More like three, because I think they each got... Let's not get into logistics. They won twice.
So tell us a little bit about the Vimeo Awards and Festival, because if you follow us on Twitter and on Facebook, Doug was there tweeting and taking pictures. You were at the awards on the first night, and then they had the festival, or this festival, which was a lot like a conference. They had different talks and things like that. Tell us a little bit about the whole experience.
The whole experience was awesome, and that's it. The awards were, it was like the first, I guess, real award show like that I had ever been to. And Vimeo did not let me down. I felt super fancy. There were men in suits and ladies in pretty dresses, and I was underdressed. But it was cool because... I got to see some of the friends of the podcast, like Dave Green, who had one of his short films was shortlisted, I believe in the narrative category. So I got to see our boy Dave Green, and he took a picture of me in front of the Vimeo backdrop. And then I got to see our boys Daniels win a couple of awards. So that was cool. The awards was really cool to see, and then the festival itself was really awesome. I got to say that the whole Vimeo staff and Vimeo in general really seemed to be trying to provide a place for their community to really learn about making videos and about the community and the industry, and there was really direct access to Vimeo staff and everyone who was there, from Reggie Watts to all the way down the list. Anyone who was part of a talk or a workshop or a presentation was completely accessible through Vimeo staff, not only to people with cool press credentials like mine, but the general public, general attendees were all given kind of direct access to all involved. So it was really spectacular from that sense.
And I think it definitely bears mentioning that a lot of the events that were going on during the festival were geared toward learning and kind of these creators who are leaders in the community, this, you know, creative community that Vimeo has built up, kind of sharing their knowledge. I know Daniels did a session which was very well attended and I understand pretty awesome. And a lot of the directors and other creators did, you know, basically different talks and different interactive sessions on different
topics.
Yeah,
there was a session with Saman, who was a guest of episode 41 of the Music Video Land podcast. And Daniels actually did too. They did a workshop and they did like a director profile. And in the director profile, there were some really cool elements. Like they showed an example of their treatment. They kind of dissected some of their own shots and like showed the points where it's like, oh, look, there's a hand we forgot to rotoscope out. Oh, look, there's a face that shouldn't be there. And just, you know, we're really kind of forthcoming and kind of ruined the magic that they create in the music videos. We're really willing to do that. And then their workshop was hilarious and entertaining. And also, whether or not they would admit it, they conveyed some information that I think would really be useful in every kind of talk or workshop. Was typically equal parts entertaining and informative. So I really enjoyed that. And Vimeo staff was well represented. You never had a question on, you know, what was going on and what came next or where you were supposed to be. And there were free smart waters and vitamin waters and beers. So it's right up my alley.
So we should also mention how the Vimeo Awards were judged. There's basically judges. There's a panel of judges, not like American Idol style, I assume. But, I think there were, you know, a few judges for each category. And the judges for music videos were Andy Bruntel, Chris Melk, the video director, music video director, and also Colin Greenwood, of the bassist from Radiohead, which was really interesting. I thought an interesting choice for the music video panel. They chose well, definitely. And Reggie Watts hosted as well, which was exciting.
Yeah, Reggie Watts hosted and gave Daniels their award for music videos, best music video. So double duty. But yeah, he's always obviously a huge entertainment aspect of any show. And Beardy Man was also there, who, if you haven't heard of Beardy Man, he does a he's a similar act to Reggie Watts in which he does kind of like computer enhanced beatboxing that he turns into a larger song, and they complemented each other well. So the whole awards, whole fest was a lot of fun, and I feel like I learned a lot, and I feel like there was a lot of information conveyed, even stuff that I already knew, because, like, you know, I know stuff already.
Of course you know stuff.
I know stuff that other people didn't know, probably, is what I'm saying.
Well, I think that one of the interesting things about Vimeo, you know, when it initially came out, I think a lot of people viewed it as, you know, rightly so, a YouTube alternative. But there were, you know, a few different competitors at that time. I don't know if you guys remember Blip.tv, a few other ones that had different features that they were kind of touting as their kind of differentiation from YouTube. I think Blip.tv had things you could click on the screen or things like that. I think Blip.tv is still around, but not nearly as popular as Vimeo, and I think they can really attribute their success to a large degree to the fact that they kind of do this supporting of artists, not just people who are like absolute pros. I mean, absolute pros love it, but even people who are just learning, they have a whole video school online. They just released a feature where you can buy music for your videos, royalty free music. So it's a really interesting both community and platform as well.
Yeah, they definitely seem to be equal parts trying to be a host for videos and to support the community, and music videos definitely seem to be music videos and music video directors seem to be well represented within that community. One thing I forgot about Vimeo, and I was reminded at the festival, is that they were for like a year the only video hosting website that had HD. Do you remember that?
I do remember that. In the days before YouTube went HD, that was a big deal.
Yeah, that was a big deal. That's mentioned in another interview that we had that may end up in a podcast or may end up some other cool place. Who knows where that interview is going to pop up.
Well, and another differentiating factor, which actually pops up in another interview upcoming even farther than that, let's see how far we plan ahead, is, and this actually made news a few days ago, which is the fact that Vimeo allows nudity. Of course, artistic nudity. They're not allowing porn or things like that, but they are not taking nudity in an artistic context down from the site. That made news when the Flaming Lips released a video. So the Flaming Lips, who are always doing these sort of collaborations with other artists, released a video on Vimeo for Erykah Badu's cover of "The First Time I Ever Saw Your Face." And if you watch the video, it was pretty clear that it was unfinished because they hadn't chroma keyed the green screen. It was still just a green screen behind them. But the premise of the video is Erykah Badu's sister is in a bathtub and she's covered in these different things. She gets out of the bathtub, but it's in slow motion. And one of them is glitter. The other is this white, like more translucent than mayonnaise, white cream substance. You can draw your own conclusions from that. And then this sort of bloody substance. And so it went up, and I watched it. I actually put it up on the site. I thought it was interesting, but there's some full frontal nudity in it, which obviously wouldn't fly on YouTube. But a few days later, actually, Erykah Badu tweeted it and tweeted positive fan reaction from it. And then a few days later, she went on a complete rant. The video went down, saying that basically Wayne Coyne of the Flaming Lips had sort of forced her into this. She didn't feel comfortable with it. That's why she had her sister do it for some reason. And that she hadn't even, she only had seen stills from it and she thought it would be more tasteful. She was really upset about the video and there was kind of a Twitter war between the two for a little bit, which made news all over, which was interesting since it's, you don't often get a little bit of a creator controversy over music videos.
It isn't often that you do that. And it kind of relates to the Music Video Land podcast a little bit because we had another video where Erykah Badu appears naked is the window seat video directed by Kuti and Chike. And we had Chike on the podcast not too long ago.
And she actually mentioned that in her rant. She said in window seat that the nudity was tasteful and it had a meaning. I guess there was an artistic disagreement. There's also, a fuzzy timeline of if anybody approved anything. And the Flaming Lips took it down. They could have left it up, but I think they ended up stating that it was a mistake and that they put that video version up and that it was obviously a unfinished version, hence the green screen.
So not exactly related to the Vimeo Awards, but definitely related to Vimeo. And if you want to listen to that Chike interview, it's episode 36, so check it out. But now you know what I think we should do, Adam?
What should we do, Doug?
I think we should get into our interview for the week.
I think that's a great idea because we have a really awesome interview this week. If you're a longtime listener to the podcast, which you probably are, let's face it, we're really fun to listen to. You have heard us mention Daniels, not the Daniels, just Daniels, several times before, always in a great context. They are a directing duo made up of two people with the first name of Daniel Kwan and Daniel Scheinert, who have made some really amazing music videos in the past few years. You may remember us recently talking about Houdini for Foster the People. And then, Doug, I believe you are a fan of Tenacious D, Rise of the Phoenix, another really amazing video.
I'm a fan of them all. I'm so much of a fan of Daniel's music videos that I named their Chromeo When the Night Falls video my favorite video of 2011.
And of
So I
course,
just will say so far Although it was made in 2011 and released in 2012, Houdini Foster the People, so far winning 2012 for me. Just going to throw that out there.
And then we, of course, have the winner of the 2012 music video category for the Vimeo Awards, Simple Math by Manchester Orchestra, as well as one of my picks of the week from a few weeks ago, Simple Song by The Shins. So, Doug, this is our first on-the-spot interview. Doug was able to get a hold of Daniels when he was at the Vimeo Awards this past weekend and sat down with them to do a little talking. So here's our interview with Daniels. So take a listen to an interview with Daniels.
I'm Daniel Scheinert, the taller one.
I'm Daniel Kwan, the slightly darker one.
Is it dark, like dark humor?
Yeah. The dark humor is what makes my skin dark. Is that what you're asking?
Like Skye's three.
Exactly. When I laugh, I turn really white. It's just what happens.
Cool, okay, but when it's like really dark humor.
Yeah, I have African American parents, but I'm so just optimistic that my skin is white.
Okay, anyways, let's cut that out. Next.
Next. We got racial fast.
Oh, yeah, real fast, real deep.
Okay, so last night during your acceptance speech, you mentioned that the Manchester Orchestra Simple Math video, which you actually won for, was almost going to be your last music video. Was there something that kind of caused this kind of second guessing of the career choice?
There was a lot. Everything was building up towards us kind of being upset with ourselves.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised to hear you say that, and I was like, what? I didn't know that. We were going to quit.
We talked about it.
But then the more I thought about it, I was like, I think we definitely went through like a few months of just kind of like, I don't know, just creatively, trying to like creatively think about like how to move forward. And one of our creative solutions was like, this isn't our thing.
Yeah.
This doesn't work for us.
Yeah, we had a lot of doubts about whether or not we could sit down and take anything seriously ever. Like, just like every music video treatment we did basically made fun of the bands. That's obviously why we didn't get anything, obviously. So we realized, oh, it's because we don't think music videos are something or like something that makes sense for us or something like that. And that's probably why when we got this track, we heard it, we realized it was kind of a mellow track. It was one of our first really serious tracks. And also we had a commissioner who really trusted us. It was the first time we're like, we should try to write something serious, you know, something that's a little bit more dramatic and not so tongue-in-cheek and trying to make jokes all the time. I think that's why that all it came out so heavy, you know.
Yeah.
That's why my skin was so dark and all the BTS.
We all saw that. Yeah.
Exactly. No, but it is one. It wasn't necessarily us saying this is going to be our last music video. I think when we were performing it, we were saying to ourselves, what if this was our last music video? What, like, if this is the last thing we're going to make this year, what would we want it to be? And like that's why we really sat down and thought a little bit more and pushed a little harder.
It's also like just part of our process in everything we do. We're like, we have to consider quitting to make sure we still want to do it. Or like it always said, like even like after we get book a job and we're like fleshing it out, on some days we're like,
this is a bad idea.
Well, we have to
Why
be
are
like,
we doing
should
this?
We should we not do this? No, we still want to make it, or like
basically we have to remind you because the process of filmmaking is that there's always this inception of an idea that gets you so excited and you're
you
working toward
vision.
Yeah, you forget why you got excited and then slowly you just like hate the idea, you hate everything about it, and then you have to basically it's one of us will be like, this is a terrible idea, and the other one has to remind
has to,
themselves
like,
and
cheer him up. Like,
yeah.
No, hang in
this
there.
Is why it's still okay. And then we're like, oh, that's, and then we both kind of realized that's why we loved the idea in the first place. It's because of A or B or whatever.
And does it favor one or the other? I mean, sometimes you'll be second guessing an idea and other times
it tends to there's a pattern of when we get depressed.
Okay.
So like a lot of times Dan tends to get more depressed when we're first pitching an idea, and he'll be like, it's not, because he's more of a perfectionist, where I'm like, I'm more of an like idealist, I'm like, oh, it'll work, you know, like, whatever, like, this has got a good beginning of an idea, and we'll figure it out. But then in pre-production, like the week of the shoot, I get depressed, or like I freak out about like how we can't do it for the money, we're gonna like flounder, make everybody look bad, we can't get this done in time. And Dan's more optimistic about like, no, this works.
We'll make it work, exactly.
So like we'll be on location scouts. I'm like, we didn't budget that, we can't do this, we can't do this. And then he's like, we'll work it out. And then in post-production,
that's when I get the most depressed.
When we're editing, like Dan like dies inside. He like goes through like depending on the project. We've I think learned a little bit like to expect it and how to work through it. But it still surprises me. Every job, like I'm like, what's happening again?
It's funny because the Manchester Orchestra videos actually was the worst post-production. As far as my just my depression, like, you know, I wasn't depressed, but I literally thought
you were going through like a tough time where like he didn't have a house, he was staying in my guest room, like he was sick, and we had to deliver it in 5 days.
Horrible combination.
And we did that video, that like 7 minute video, we did a rough cut in 5 days. And when we do rough cuts, we rough out all of our effects just to make sure they work. And it was,
and there's whole sections like the running through the forest that were kind of like fluid, where we had to just kind of like figure out what flowed. There was no like exact order.
I literally thought our careers were over after, because I was like, this was the like before this, we all our videos were like, you know, $10,000 or something like that, which it was pretty small in for music videos. And this one was like, you know, five times that. And we're like, oh, someone's trusted us with a good idea. We got this money. We flew to Alabama, flew our crew to Alabama. We're doing this. And then I saw the first cut, and I was like, shit, we completely blew it. No one's ever going to trust us again.
I've got one question about your second guessing yourself. It's just funny though that even happens, because like I'll talk to other directors and they will talk about how after seeing your guys' videos that they almost quit because they don't think that they can reach those levels. Like there's been people who actually said,
"I'll." Someone said, like one of my friends said that the other day, and it made me so sad.
Yeah, it was. I think it was one of your friends who said it. It was Dugan.
Dugan. Yeah, Dugan said it to me.
He was like, "Oh, after I saw the Houdini video, I almost quit." And
no,
he also mentioned that you guys would be heartbroken by that also. Yeah. When you say quit, is it quit your team or is it quit the industry or quit trying to make movies? Like, what does that exactly mean?
It depends on different stages of our lives. Okay. Sometimes just very specific, quit music videos, or sometimes it's like leave a company. Like at one point we were thinking about leave a company, like very specific things. More like recently,
go to Africa for a year.
Exactly. Yeah. More recently, it's like just quit all creative endeavors. I just want to become an educator or someone who is just a philosophizer, whatever I think is more interesting at the time. So that's what this month has been. This month has been me trying to do anything that isn't creative.
Okay. I want to know then, you know, we've talked to Isaac Ravi Shankar about how OMG Everywhere has started.
Yeah.
And I kind of thought, I was wondering if you guys can maybe shine some light on how the progress of that has been going.
Yeah.
And what direction is it? Is that not a creative endeavor? Is that more towards something else? I mean, you guys are creating something or a part of a creation. What is that? I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a creative endeavor. But the thing that I like about it is it's us kind of fighting everything we hated about our own education, I guess. It's us basically saying like the best way to learn is to collaborate with people who know. You know, just like not have like a mentorship program or anything. It's all about actually making things with people who know what they're doing, and like just like letting that be like the education that you need. And obviously you need to supplement that with like other things, and we try to do that. But for me, I get excited about it because it is a way for us to change the way that a small group of people think about learning.
Sure.
And it's kind of like the other thing about it is very selfishly we like really love playing with kids, like just being like kids at heart again. So like, OMG, we don't teach them, we play with them.
Yeah.
So like, it's this kind of wonderful like play date we have scheduled every once in a while. We're like, oh, I get to go play with some kids.
Yeah.
And it kind of it reminds you of like how easy art is. because you get like you get competitive and perfectionist and et cetera, and like OMG, like we never have enough time, we never plan ahead, the kids like half the time don't care or like get distracted, and then it always still turns out really fun. It's just like this reminder of like don't sweat the small stuff, or just like this is what's fun about it.
Yeah, it's a part of our nature to want to do things like
lately
this.
We've just been playing like summer camp games with the kids,
right?
Like we're, so that, that's more fun than even making movies.
Sure.
But yeah,
the one time I was at OMG, it was totally like I wasn't really sure what to expect or what it would be, and like after it was just like, man, that was like the greatest couple of hours I ever spent.
Funny, you should come when we do the summer camp, the week long. It's incredible because it's the same kids for an entire week,
right?
Every day.
Yeah.
You really, like those kids get really creative because like there's something about the way that kids grow up here where they're just very closed off. There's no one ever wants to stick out, no one wants to risk looking weird, and these kids are not like an exception to that, so it's always hard for us to within a couple hours break them out of that place and then create with the week you've already broken them out and it's just creating creativity, which is amazing.
Both your guys's Shin's video and the Tenacious D video you guys just did premiered on iTunes, which is kind of unusual, and we've kind of always trying to figure out like why iTunes even puts music videos on there, and I was wondering if were you provided like any metrics with like the how often it was downloaded or any kind of stuff like that, or does that stuff not even really matter to you guys?
It's something we don't know. It's kind of like we hate that. We hate releasing those videos on iTunes. It's the worst.
Yeah.
But it's it makes a lot of sense. The reason record labels do it is because like there's like a very direct correlation between like buying the album and because like you have to sign into iTunes, and as soon as you download it, there's the album. Why not listen to it? Oh, I'll just buy it. But for the most part,
we're kept in the dark about everything.
The marketing end of stuff.
Yeah, never know how many views it gets or anything like that, which is okay because. Usually, if nothing else, I don't know if this should be on the record or not, but both times they've released things on iTunes, the quality has been really bad. Like
on the actual iTunes.
Yeah, the video exactly. Yeah. So like,
was okay.
That was still SD, right?
It still came out a little like pretty small.
Anyways, like if anything,
Shins came out terrible.
Yeah.
iTunes released something that was like squashed, like super squashed, standard definition, super squashed, and then. And that whole video is built on wide shots, like wide, high-definition shots. We were trying to like dissect the image and follow all these characters. So it was just like, of all the videos we've ever made, it was the one that was the, no.
So if anything, we try to keep views, we try to not tell people about it when it gets released on iTunes.
And then just, when you can finally put it on Vimeo, that's
when you tell. Or even Vivo or whatever. I think like earlier on it was really important that we had our videos on Vimeo getting a lot of views, just so people could like know, like find out who we were and things like that. But now it definitely is just like the our videos are no longer our own because the bands are so much bigger, and like it's more for the fans. So like they usually put it on Vivo and like they get a lot of views, and we luckily we've stopped counting, which is like good.
Yeah.
And the Tenacious D video specifically, that had like a very interesting promotion along with it, where like they acted like you guys got your computer hacked or something like that.
Yeah.
Clips of it were stolen. Were you kind of, did they ask you to like do an apology on Facebook and stuff, or did they ask you to be in on that and that kind of thing? And
yeah.
It was all our idea. Because we were like, we were just like the whole video is so like playfully indulgent within the music video world, and like we just really wanted to like play with releasing things because like that conversation we just had about iTunes, like music video releasing is so weird, it's this weird complicated thing, and so like the whole idea is about a rough cut, so we're like, why not like try to like play into that and leak shit, not only because we were just curious, but also like we were really like neurotically nervous that our video wouldn't make sense, so we wanted to like set the tone of like, oh, it's a joke leaking video, let's, originally we wanted to just straight up leak it, the whole video,
just
but
drop
then
it out there?
Yeah, just like drop it out and then like start this whole like just like the video's done and it's out there leaked on Russian YouTube, but that was like they had this iTunes deal, etc., and then ultimately I think it was better doing it this way because people thought it was leaked, and then when the video finally came out, it was clearly official, and people could just, like, enjoy the joke. But some people still got really confused.
Yeah, right, I can imagine. So, but that's, I guess it's not necessarily a bad thing.
It's not. I think, I always talk about, like, I used to do a lot of comedy in college, and, like, I hate when people are, like, counting laughs, because I feel like gasps and confusion is just as valuable as laughs when you're telling a story and getting people to laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, I'm just as interested in confusing people as I am in making people laugh, and I think that still counts as comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're laughing, like, 2 weeks later when you're talking to a friend about it.
Really missed you, your presence in this interview. I guess it's fair, since there were two subjects, you were basically replaced by a Daniel. So don't feel bad.
That's yeah, because I don't know how it would work. Two people interviewing two people. You'd think it'd be like a party, you know, sometimes where
we've done it before with Hero Mirai and Ryan Reichenfeld.
That's different in person, though. You break up. It's like a party. You break off into different things. By the end of it, you know, I would have been in the corner with you know, with one Daniel talking about one thing. You would have been sitting in some workplace else with the other one. It would have been a complete disaster.
It would have been a mess. It would have been a real mess. So, but your presence was there because you helped me with some questions. You put question marks at the end of all the things that I had written as statements, which really helped that interview.
It's important. I noticed that right away. I went through and I changed those because it makes a difference. Where, you know, because listen to this. Would you like some cheese? No. Hold. Would you like some cheese? Would you like some cheese? It's very,
yes.
Very clear at the second one that I'm asking you a question.
So clear that I answered you.
Well, I've got a nice brie, and I've got a little bit of sharp cheddar. This is a really sharp cheddar, though.
I don't know. Maybe, all right, I'll have the brie, but that's because it goes well with a pick of the week.
Brie I'm interested is like a pick in your of pick of the week now.
I'm just saying in general, brie is a type of cheese that goes really well with listening to picks of the week.
Oh, good point. So I
that
guess,
and obviously a nice white wine.
Really, I always thought that picks of the week is more like a peanut noir. But anyway, we should just get into our picks of the week, and anybody can.
You could drink whatever you want.
Drink whatever you want. We got all kinds of wine. That's all she wrote.
So I'll go first. I'm cool with that.
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
My pick of the week is by an artist named Exhibit. And the song is called What You See Is What You Get. And it's music video directed by Gregory Dark. I'm picking this video for a few reasons. One, because the Exhibit page on Filmed Insert features a picture of Exhibit, which utilizes the very famous Exhibit Yo Dog meme. So check out the Exhibit page to see that. But also, this 1998 video is one of the classic rap videos from the late 90s and really kind of helped put Exhibit on the scene. This is one of the videos that a lot of people would call the type of music video that every artist wants, which is that artist basically just walking and mouthing their lyrics as a bunch of cool, awesome stuff goes on around them. And that's basically exactly what happens in this video. Exhibit is sitting at home, and his wife, or at very least baby mama, is inside of the... Is it?
That's racist.
No, okay. No, it wasn't. She's inside, and she tells Exhibit that she needs milk, and she asks him to go and get it. And as he goes and gets it, he walks out of the house, and there is immediately a man chasing after a car as if the car was stolen, and he's trying to get it back, followed by a cop chase. And then by the time the chorus starts, Exhibit is. Has walked into a concert with a whole bunch of Exhibit signs behind him and stuff. He continues to walk out of the place where the concert is, where, of course, Flavor Flav is waiting.
Of course.
You know, and then there's more car explosions and robberies and you know, a bunch of action. Exhibit gets the milk. He then walks back home. By the time the second chorus rolls around, he's on stage again. All the while, more car explosions, cops, helicopters, bitches. Exhibit gets home with the milk, sits down, where he is then told by his, we're just gonna go with wife. We see Exhibit as a monogamous man. His wife tells him, she forgot the hot sauce. Which is a great little twist to the end of this video.
That's like an M. Night Shyamalan level.
It's on the level of M. Night. Now, I wonder what made them pick hot sauce. Whatever the case.
What would you be making that you would need milk and hot sauce for?
Well, what I think maybe what the milk does is that's supposed to cool your mouth after you've had your spicy dish.
I think they did a Mythbusters on that, and that doesn't work.
Oh, it doesn't work? Milk doesn't really cool you down?
Yeah, they had like a whole panel of people
those
trying things.
Mythbusters, evolutionists.
I think you're supposed to eat bread.
What? I don't even eat bread.
Yeah.
What if they're putting the hot sauce on the bread?
You're completely fucked.
Completely fucked. So anyway, Exhibit, what you see is what you get. My pick of the week for this week. Adam.
That's a good one, but it's not going to be mine. Because I'm going to make a prediction.
It would be the first time you've ever won. I've won pick of the week now 43 weeks in a row.
Very true. So my pick of the week is for developers, I'll just give you a little background for this. Just trust me, it'll be interesting. I promise. I'll mail you a box of chocolates if it isn't. When you develop, you have like a local copy of the database. So I have like the local copy of the filmed insert database. So when I'm like working on the music page, like the video page, I usually see the same video stills over and over again. And I've been working a lot on the entity page, and my like person of choice to like develop with is Rihanna, because she's easy on the eyes. And she has really colorful videos and kind of just fun videos. Although, ironically, the picture for on the site is in black and white for some reason. A video that I was really excited to see because I liked the song. It's the first Coldplay song I've liked in a long time. Is Princess of China. You might be aware that Rihanna shows up on a lot of different tracks. I think that sometimes she just wanders around studios and then asks if she can just kind of sing the chorus or whatever. She's very highly sought after for that, for good reason. But this video is called Princess of China by Coldplay, featuring Rihanna. And it is just a video that I think has a really interesting sense of the emotion of the music. You know, we've been talking a lot about different narrative videos lately with the directors we've had, and you know, sometimes it's really interesting to see a video that really moves with the music in the choreography, as well as just the you know, way things are framed. It's the first video I've seen come out in a while that uses the kind of like walking toward the camera thing, which is such an old trick for music videos, because if you want to and TV shows as well, if there's a kind of an old joke, if you want to create momentum, then just have people walk in the same direction and kind of follow the you know, follow their action. But at the beginning of the song, when the drums come in, they're very kind of like low beating drums. And then you have this great shot of Chris Martin of Coldplay walking forward and singing. And it's, you know, nothing new in the elements of music video and the language of music video, but it's just really well done. And a lot of really interesting tableau pieces with Rihanna. She's always really unbelievable in music videos. She really knows how to say a lot with sort of a very little movement. She's very much the opposite of like a Lady Gaga that way, who's will be all over the place. Rihanna kind of is more subtle, but I think is much more of a presence on film. So I really love this video. Coldplay's been doing a lot of interesting videos lately, even if they aren't doing a lot of really interesting music. So that's my pick. Princess of China by Coldplay, and the directors, co-directing team, Adria Petty and Alan Bibby.
I like Rihanna.
Rihanna's the best.
She's a pretty lady.
She is a pretty lady. Sometimes, you know, did you ever read Huffington Post?
Yeah.
I still do. I remember when Huffington Post was, like, good. Now it's Side Boob Central. Like, there's two people who are, like, the king of side boobs on Huffington Post, Miley Cyrus and Rihanna. So she's kind of, she needs to, got to get that act, you know, aspect of her act together, but otherwise she's doing good.
No, I'm cool with that aspect, maintaining its current trajectory. I changed Rihanna's picture on the site, still black and white, but much more.
Oh, complete. Wow, yeah, there we go.
Complete, a little upgrade.
But look at Rihanna's page, there's so much color there. It's really interesting.
Oh, is there so much color, and I love every shade.
The funny thing about Rihanna is that how sexually explicit a lot of her music is, but I think she's still seen as someone who's generally harmless in terms
for whatever reason.
Because I can't tell you the awkwardness of standing in a line subway with a, you know, the only other people in line are like a woman and her 12-year-old daughter, and S&M is playing in the background.
What subways do you go in where they're playing music?
Oh, every subway. Like the sandwich shop.
Oh.
And it's just funny because she's kind of seen as like this, or viewed popularly as kind of like this ABBA kind of benign like presence where you can put her on, like any of her songs on in, you know, the background of a dentist's office or something like that. When really there's a lot of sexually explicit material.
Well, Nicki Minaj finds her way into, you know, into public spaces a lot too, and is even more so crazy with her lyrics.
Yeah,
so.
She's kind of been adopted. I mean, she has the Pepsi and Bud Light, I think, are the two her main sponsorships.
Do you remember like when like Ludacris was sponsored by Pepsi and like Bill O'Reilly like went nuts and like got him pulled off of Pepsi?
Poor Ludacris. He can't get. I was actually over the weekend listening to a lot of Ludacris for some reason, and remember when last campaign, 2008 campaign, Barack Obama mentioned him as one of his favorite rappers, and he went off and he made this. We'll put this link in the show and the notes for the episode. But he went off and made this video and this song that was just over the top, explicit, talking about how he's like the president's favorite rapper. And what was like Obama gonna do? Say like, yeah, it was really an awful song.
It was a really, really bad move by Ludacris.
Yeah, and he had to be basically like disowned by Obama, candidate Obama. It was just a poor guy.
It's not, I think Ludacris is probably doing all right for himself, but he's still living off that Too Fast, Too Furious money.
That's right, he has an acting career, like Eminem.
Big time. Anyway, folks, thanks for listening to us. Listen to this podcast come unhinged to the point where we're talking about Ludacris's acting career. I hope you've enjoyed it.
I hope you have, too. And I should just mention at the very end of this, since we have Daniels on and there may be people actually listening, to follow us on Filmed Insert. It's at Filmed Insert. Go on our Facebook page. You know how to get there. But also to call our tip line.
We got it. It's going.
There is a link on the show notes. If you go to filmedinsert.com/podcast, you'll see it right there. Call us. Say something. Talk about your favorite music video. Actually, we should have a question every week and have people call in and see if they'll call in and answer it.
Yeah, so we could put in some time to set up our failures. this week's question is... what is your favorite sexually explicit Rihanna lyric?
Yes, please send us or just your favorite Rihanna video and why, and bonus points for it being sexually explicit. So there you go. Call in. We'll play every response we get on the air or on the ones and zeros, and we'll see you next week.
your least favorite type of dog?
Oh, I don't know. I hate all.
That's a good question.
Those little ones with like the ears that like meow. Worst dogs.
I hate those.
Those dogs don't play with you. Those dogs are flat faces. That's the worst.
I hate the ones with the long necks and like the spots.
Yeah, yeah. They're eating the shit off the trees. Like, stop it. The trees are saving us. Don't eat that, you stupid dog. Okay, sorry.
Those are the worst. Right.
You said it'd be short, right?
We never went to school.